بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today we're moving to hadith number 267 and it deals with the palm trees that people sell after impregnating or cultivating these trees, as we will come to explain, inshallah. So who will volunteer and read hadith 267? Yes,
Akhi. Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, reported Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, he who buys a tree after it has been impregnated, its fruits belongs to one who sells it, except if the buyer makes a condition that it is his. In a narration of a Muslim, and he who buys a slave, his property belongs to the one who sold him, except if the buyer made a condition that it is his.
Okay, the hadith is clear, but maybe as we do not deal in farming, we do not know what is impregnating a tree would be. Trees, as people who know the nature of farming, have males and females. So if you want to have a good fruit, you have to, as they say, fecundate or impregnate the palm trees by getting special types of material from the tree to the female tree, and then it would give fruit. Now, the Prophet knows, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the first priority for an owner of such a farm is to get the fruit. Why am I farming? Because I like how the trees look? Definitely not. I want something out of it. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that if a person impregnates his palm trees, which requires a lot of work, you have to go take it from the male trees to the female trees, climb up and do this and do that. So when you fecundate these trees, and then afterwards you want to sell the farm, the buyer, when he comes and buys it, after a month or two, when the fruit is ripe, it is not his. Now one would say, okay, akhi, I bought the farm 2 months, 3 months ago. Yes, you bought it 2 or 3 months ago, but when you bought it, it has been already been fecundated by the previous owner. And the Prophet ﷺ made a rule so that we would not have any dispute. If you buy the farm after my work on it, then the fruits are mine. Unless the Prophet is putting what? ﷺ, a condition. Unless the buyer knows. So he goes and say, listen, I'm going to buy the whole farm, but the fruits are mine. Now, the seller has the option. He has the option of saying, ya akhi, but I did a lot of work in it, and I look forward for the fruit that I have done and worked for. And the buyer says, well, this is my condition, whether you agree or not. So then things are clear. But if they do not discuss this, after 2-3 months, there will become dispute. The buyer says, no, I bought the farm with everything on it. And the seller would say, no, I impregnated the palm trees, so I have to take the fruits. What do we say to him? The hadith clarifies this. There is no misconceptions, nothing for you to debate about. Buyer, did you make a condition? Said, no, khalas, tough luck. Now, does this mean that every single year the fruit is his? For the seller, no, it's only for this one time because he worked hard in it. The second part of the hadith, it's also deals with the same concept, and that is, if you sell a slave, now one would say, slavery is banned. I said, yes, it's banned, but slavery was there, and slavery is not something that Muslims should be ashamed of, because people think that, oh, Islam promotes slavery. Does Islam promote slavery? There is only one means of having slavery, and that is through capturing of prisoners of war. If I go to Burma, where they're very poor, or Somalia, and someone comes to me and says, do you want to buy my son or my daughter? He is 7 years of age, 9 years of age. I'll sell him for $150. And he can become your slave. That's cheap. I'll buy him. Take two. Says, oh, you get one free. So is this halal? Definitely not. This is a free man, a free child. I cannot buy. The only means of slavery in Islam is through prisoners of wars, non-Muslims, disbelievers. So if someone attacks my country, I, with the army, defend my country, and we get prisoners of wars. What do we do with them? Send them to Guantanamo. No, we enslave them. Oh, this is against human rights. Well, them attacking us is human rights? It's okay, Annie? No, this is human rights. How? He is a slave. He's like an animal being sold and bought and not having rights. Yes, but this is for his sake. Come on. How can it be for his sake? When a surgeon goes to your son and cuts open his stomach to remove a tumor, is this for his sake or not? Definitely. He's bleeding. He's in pain. Yes, but this is for his sake. Likewise, this disbeliever who was an enemy of Islam, I can execute him and get it over with. But what I'm giving him is an honest and decent life. I feed him from what I eat. I clothe him from what I wear, as the Prophet ordered, alayhi salam. Not only that, the Prophet, alayhi salam, in the Quran and in the Sunnah, whatever you do, expiation, free a slave. So if I have intercourse with my wife during the month of Ramadan while fasting, this is a sin. It invalidates my fasting. What to do? Free a slave. If I'm driving and I kill someone by mistake, expiation, free a slave. If I tell my wife that I don't want you and I am not even going to touch you, you are exactly like my mother, then I feel remorse and sad and I would like to continue living with her, free a slave. If I say, Wallahi, I will not come to your school tomorrow, and then I change my mind, expiation, free a slave. And it goes on, everything in Islam, free a slave, free a slave, free a slave. Does Islam promote slavery? Islam promotes freedom for slavery, but by living in our houses and looking at how we treat them and looking at how we worship Allah Azza wa Jal, this would make them accept Islam voluntary, because there is no compulsion in religion. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, I am astonished, I am amazed of people being dragged to paradise in chains. Who would be dragged in paradise in chains? Everybody goes to paradise willingly. The Prophet is giving us a metaphor. Because these prisoners of war, they were enslaved, so they were in chains. And these chains made them accept Islam and hence enter paradise as if they were dragged into it. So, this is not our topic, but you have to clarify things, because when people talk to you about Islam and you don't know the beauty of the religion, you will feel inferior, you will feel weak. Said, yes, oh, I'm sorry, yes, Islam promotes slavery. No, it's not like this. And always turn the tables on their heads. Not physically, but yani, so that they would say, oh, a terrorist, he's putting the tables on our head now, we have wounds, we're dying. Always turn the tables on them by asking them to look into their own books, their own religions, and they'll find slavery being bought, sold, not through jihad, through any means. As long as you can capture someone and sell it, then this is permissible. In Islam, alhamdulillah, it is the greatest religion. And if you study it, you know why. So, I have a slave. And my slave, I gave him 100,000 rupees or dollars. And I tell him, go and trade with it and bring me the profit. It's my money. He makes money. He makes profit. People give him tips. And he's getting richer. So, now I want to sell him. So, a buyer comes and he buys him. And after he buys him, I, the owner, come to collect what he owns, because everything he owns, the suit, the watch, the car, the pen, the suitcase, everything is mine. So after the man bought the slave, I come to collect my things. And he says, no. I bought everything. What are you doing? He said, no. The money is mine. The shop is mine. The car is mine. The watch is mine. So the guy says, no, I bought the whole thing. This is not what we have agreed upon. The Prophet is telling us, now I'm going to clarify this issue. If someone buys a slave, then the money that the slave has goes all to the previous owner, unless there is what? A condition. This is what makes selling and buying in the halal. And that is why when I go into contract with you, many times we have partners, they have problems, they have a lot of dispute. Why? Because it was not written down, it was not clarified. After 6 months, yes, but I want to have my share. No, I have to have increase. Yeah, it's all in black and white. So the condition is very important. And that is why the Prophet says, as-salam, the money belongs to the previous owner unless the buyer makes it a condition. So how much you're selling your slave? $10,000. Okay, but I will buy it with everything that the slave has. The seller would say, oops, no. If this is the case, I'm selling him for $100,000 because he's got my car, he's got this and that. And then everything is clear. When it's not clear, then by default, the seller, the previous owner, goes and gets everything that there needs to be delivered. Now, before going to the following hadith, I'm afraid we have a short break. And afterwards, inshallah, we will open the floor for questions and we'll be right back.